In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today, the first gospel is about our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, who came to Gennesaret and met Simon Peter and those with James and John who were with him. And so he asked them to enter the boat, and he went out and pushed it out a little bit from the shore, and he began to preach and to teach the words of salvation. And when he had gotten to the end of what he had to say, he then asked Simon Peter to bring boats out, the other boat, and the two, so be the two boats, and bring them out to cast their nets. And Simon Peter, who has a habit of doing this actually, protested. He said, "Well, we've been fishing all night and we haven't caught anything, so why should we do this?" Nevertheless, our Savior prevailed upon him, and they pushed their boats out and they cast the nets, and they filled both of the boats with fish to the point where they were nearly ready to sink, and then they came to the shore. And so we have this beautiful and simple gospel. And I think what the message is, essentially, is that, first of all, the boats represent the church, the Holy Church. And the fish, of course, represent, as it says even in the gospel, the souls of faithful people who come to the Holy Church and live within the context of the Holy Church. And the nets, very interesting, because they have a warp and a woof. They're woven crosswise against themselves. And what is the warp and the woof? What is the warp? And I think it's very clear that the warp is the Word of God, the teachings of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, which he pronounced and proclaimed from the boat sitting on the sea. And the woof is obedience. And I think it's reflected in the fact that Peter resisted. He was reluctant to fulfill the request of the Savior. And only when he was urged did he actually fulfill the request. And I think what it is obedience. Obedience that is grounded in deep and profound faith. So, what we, as brothers and sisters in Christ and Orthodox Christians, striving for the kingdom of heaven, what we need to do is we need to, on the one hand, dedicate ourselves to the Word of God, to the teachings of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And then we have to reach deep within ourselves to find obedience. And the obedience, why obedience? Because our Lord knows our fallen state. He knows that we have dark passions. We have great desires that manifest them in all kinds of ways. We have lists of saints of sins, and you can read all the different sins one could have, and it doesn't exhaust them all. And so we have in our own flesh this kind of sense of rebellion. And a lot of times it's hard for us to believe that it's rebellion because it's covered by pride. So we think that actually what we are desiring to do of our own will is a good thing because it fulfills our pride. Which goes back now immediately to the whole question of immersing ourselves in the Word of God. If we would like to become Christ-like, or if we would simply like to be good disciples and know that we'll never be Christ-like, but at least be faithful, we have to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. And why? Because, number one, there are teachings, very clear, practical teachings, about who our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ is, why he came and became incarnate in the flesh, and what he requires of us in order that we partake in the mystery of salvation, and that we partake literally in the power and life of his resurrected body, which is manifested through the sacraments of the Holy Church. And so we have to grasp this, and we have to understand it, and we need to know something about it. And if we have that knowledge, and we then suddenly are, by his love, he called, you know, he called the fishermen. And this was his act of love to them. He called them. And they did not call themselves, and it wasn't that they had the idea to fulfill his commandments. He called them, and they responded. And that's the obedience that we have to have. And the question is, why? Why must we have the concept of obedience, which I think, frankly, has been significantly diminished in our society today, the idea of obedience? I mean, the idea that children would actually do what their parents would have them do has, in many ways, in many circumstances, been completely eroded. But nevertheless, we must be obedient to the Word. And so not only do we have to read the Word, but we have to comprehend it. And comprehending the Word requires this act of obedience to dwell upon it, to read the Word and then to pray, Lord, enlighten my mind. Show me the path. Reveal to me what it is you are saying. The Word of God is very frequently very obscure to when you first begin to read it. What does it say? And we even know this in secular reading. You know, you can read the surface and get an idea of things and say, well, that's what the Lord said, and this is where he was, and this is where he went, and this is to whom he spoke, and you have this sort of overview. But the question is, what is he teaching us? What is it, not for the edification of our mind, not, you know, so we can find on a map the places he may have walked, but what is he teaching us that will cleanse and sanctify our own hearts? And this, of course, is the whole objective. This is what our life is about. And the obedience that Simon Peter and James and John fulfilled when Peter got done protesting a little bit, that's what we have to have, that obedience. We have to do what the Lord tells us to do. And we have to... I shouldn't even say it that way. That sounds very pedestrian. We have to desire to have our inner life changed in the image of God. That's what we have to do. And we need to desire this. And we need to desire with great depth. And if we do, then we will be led on a path that leads to salvation. No matter what our circumstances, no matter what our employment we may have, our Lord and God, or the circumstances of our families and our economic status, or whatever, we can be and will be led to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ if we have faith. Actually, we believe. We have to look at and say, Lord, I believe. I don't understand, but I do believe that you are the source of salvation. I believe that in these words, your light shines into my mind and sanctifies my mind and my heart. I believe. And in my belief, guide me. And in my unbelief, guide me. And so this is the struggle we have. And it's always confronted by our passions, our desires. Our desires are constantly drawing us away, and obviously, humankind has been confronted with temptations since the very beginning. We know this. Adam and Eve fell; they were tempted, and they gave in. History, civilization is really the history of how civilizations even bring order to groups of people so that they can live together and prosper together. And one of the greatest issues of this order is to subdue and to contain people's passions for things that are against the law of God and against the truth. And this is true outwardly, but it's also true inwardly. And we if we give ourselves to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ in a deep and thorough way, we will see that our passions will rise up. And that's where the battle is, to subdue the passions. The truth of the matter is that we must exert efforts and to conform to the law of God and to the way of Christ. We must exert efforts. But in those exertion of efforts, we certainly will fail. But failure is not, in this pursuit, failure is not to be the last, as it were, of the dialogue that we have with our Savior. It's actually the beginning. Because if we realize that in our inability to resist the desires of the flesh and the passions that we have, if we realize this, then we will be moved to prayer. And in prayer, we will receive strength. If we pray sincerely, and I say that because I think sometimes we're kind of mechanical, you know, we have difficulty and then we say a prayer, but it's not a prayer from the heart, it's not from the depths of our being and soul. And the truth is, if we pray, then God will show us the path, and He will give us what we need, the strength that we need to follow the path. However, having said that, and from experience I can tell you, and I know it's true for every one of us, we can have those moments of insight, we can see what the path is, we can see what it is we need to do, and we can immediately forget and push it aside. Because, again, the desires of the flesh war against the Spirit of God. And when we look at the lives of the saints, and we have today the monk Hariton, the confessor, we see amazing examples. And Hariton, the confessor, lived in the Roman Empire in the early 4th century. And he gave himself to Christ and intended to follow Christ. And he was inspired by the great martyr Thecla, who was also, they were from the city of Iconium, and she was a native of that city, and she, in her desire to be united to Christ, she suffered great persecutions and great cruelty and died a martyr. And from her life flowed light and power and strength. And he was very inspired by her. And so and it came a time when he was brought for persecution. And he suffered greatly, almost to the point of death. It wasn't just one bout of persecution. It was a persecution that happened over a period of a few years, constantly being brought to the point of death, and yet being revived and again persecuted and beaten and wounded and tortured in every way. Finally, the persecutions lifted, and he was released from prison, and he went to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, he venerated all of the holy places. And nevertheless, again, he was persecuted not by robbers, and who tied him in a cave and tried to starve him to death. And nevertheless, he never gave up his desire to know and follow our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And he dedicated himself to unceasing prayer, to physical the deprivation. And little by little, the Savior came to him and dwelt in him and worked through him. And he is responsible for establishing three great monasteries, three great lovers throughout the Holy Land. And why? Because of his ability to be obedient and his ability to turn his heart and mind to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ understanding that the struggles that he encountered were actually for his sanctification and for his salvation. And this is a message because we live in a time when any little pain or any little discomfort we might have, we need an aspirin for this and maybe something else for that, or it just seems intolerable that we must go to the doctor, which is, I do believe going to the doctor is a very important thing. Thank God for the doctors and the health of my beloved wife. But nevertheless, there's this kind of culture that we have of, is that we're not being able to struggle through the common ailments that we have on our own, but always looking for, in a sense, a way out of that struggle. And so we ourselves, it's not physical, it's the interior. We have temptations. And I think if anyone looks inside, and perhaps we haven't dared to look inside yet, we can see it, all kinds of things that flood our hearts and minds with darkness. And what we need to do is we need to open our hearts through holy confession and reveal our sins to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ through this great mystery and great sacrament. And then we need to struggle. And we need to struggle against our weaknesses. And in doing this, our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ will take notice. I shouldn't put it in such an objective way, but he will, in fact, notice, and he will strengthen us. And what I think is that we're in a place where we find a zone of comfort. We struggle enough to be, you might say, comfortable, but not enough to confront the really deep issues of our hearts and our minds. And I think it's very much a part of our society, is this zone that one can get into. And we are all subject to it. And what we need to do is we need to take up our cross. We need to read our holy gospels. We need to say our prayers. And we really need to struggle against our thoughts, our dark thoughts, and our passions, our inner passions, so that we can, as it were, walk on the path of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ established, the path which the holy apostles followed and the saints of old, that we may come to the end of our life knowing our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might know him and know his love and know his compassion and know his kindness and know all the ways that he yearns for us to improve, as it were, to become more virtuous and kind and generous and hospitable and to enter into the fullness of his life in the Holy Church. May God bless you, and may we all together walk on the path of salvation, and that we might know in the fullness of his glory and his grace, our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and know him in this time.